This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
What is going on, my podcast family? Welcome to the first ever episode of Knowing is Knowing. I'm your host, Rashad Young. I appreciate you all being here today. It's truly an honor for you to take the time to listen to my podcast with a million podcasts that are out there in the world. If you've been a part of my journey, you'll understand this isn't my first podcast. This is actually my fourth solo podcast. I look at podcasts like albums. I'm really big in the creative space. And for me, I always try to find ways to rebrand myself and to really, you know, find a deeper meaning in life. And so for this one, man, Knowing is Knowing really hits home. First off, shout out to my brother Curtis, aka Neptune. He's been saying this for a while. We never understood what that meant. I had the opportunity to be blessed for using this for my content, so I appreciate you, bro. And the whole point of Knowing is Knowing is to really have deep, meaningful conversations, not only with guests that I may bring on, but maybe through books, maybe through things that are going on in the world. And for me, as I mentioned, finding deeper meaning is very important to me because the world is full of many questions and there's a lot of answers that we wish to love to have answered. And sometimes we don't know. Sometimes it's just having that thought and that value of wanting to learn more and to be more in tune with yourself and to really be better for who you are is something that, you know, we really strive for and we need to really experience in order to really be better in life as people. And so today's episode is really important, even though it's the first one. I'm super excited to have this guest, my first guest for this one, and somebody who means very much a lot to me, even though I am like her annoying little brother. She's somebody I met roughly about a year ago. Her name is Yolanda Mercer. She is a speaker, a businesswoman, an entrepreneur. I mean, Yolanda does it all. She's an author. I mean, I keep going. You know, honestly, with Yolanda, you have to usually have an inner voice before you even get in the same space as her. So right now, she's doing this for free. And this is why I'm doing this drop now before she even gets on. So, you know, she may change her mind. I don't want her to change her mind. You know, like I want to make sure we actually have this done the right way. But I think it's going to be a great conversation because we met last year, roughly around in July. We both were going through two transformational periods in our life. And I think that's kind of how we connected. We connected going through the same thing and talking to each other about it and how to overcome it. And she really just gave me perspective for just how to keep moving forward, keep being mindful, and just find ways to be better and be self-reflective and using that to provide value for other people. So, Yolanda, I thank you. I appreciate you all for listening. I promise you this is going to be a fun, impactful video. I'm super excited. Hopefully, I don't get too carried away as far as the jokes, because me and her do joke back and forth. But seriously, though, she is definitely a very special woman, and make sure you all check out her content as she provides it at the end of the pod. Hope you all enjoy this. Hope to see y'all soon. Make sure to subscribe to this on YouTube or your favorite audio platform. I am on Apple, Spotify, Google, anywhere you can get your audio podcast from. Like I said, also subscribe to me on YouTube. Enjoy the episode. Until next time, peace. Okay, so, you know, I could just get into just giving you a hard time for the next 45 minutes to an hour, but I'm not going to do that. Like I said, I gave you a nice little drop. I considered you my big sister. You know, it took a while to get here, but No, seriously though, you are somebody that I admire from afar. You know, I can't be too close because, you know, the invoice and stuff like that. I ain't got the money to pay for your presence, but I am here with Yolanda. Yolanda, how are you?
I'm good. I'm excited and looking forward to what you have in store for us.
I mean, it's the first episode, so you got to start off on a high note. You know, no. People listening, you know, this is the standard. I picked the best to start it off with, you know, and if you flop, man, you know, I know who to blame, you know what I'm saying? But
you know, I'm sure you have no problem blaming me.
No, of course not. I have no reason to do that. Why would I blame you? You know, like that.
We're good. I do this, and clearly you do this.
I'm a regular guy, but I appreciate you taking the time though. I appreciate you taking the time to come. I know you had a busy day. I know you was out, you know, speaking the positive words to the youth. So
the little girls.
How was that though? Was that good, by the way?
It was good. Queen Camp right here in St. Louis. Such a fun time. Anybody with little girls, definitely a great positive environment to sign up for your child.
So for those who don't know you, how did we get here? You know what I mean? Like, how do we get to Yolanda, the star now that catches flights all the time, you know, speaking at different conferences, you know, got thousands of followers on Instagram, write books, you know, like how do we get here? Take me to the journey. I don't know. I've been trying to figure it out. We met about a year ago, but take me to the journey, how you got here today.
It started during the pandemic. Of course, I've been in higher ed for 7 years, and clearly the universities were closed because of COVID. And so one of my mentors was like, you should be in business for yourself. Yes, you counsel students, but you should have your own clients. You should be writing books. You should be doing all these things. People are asking you for advice for free, and you should be charging them. See, someone planted the invoice seed. And so while I was in the house quarantining like millions of other people, I got a business plan together. I hired somebody to create me a couple of websites, one for personal use and one for a boutique. I started writing manuscripts. I wrote 4 manuscripts. I got a business license and I published my first book. I couldn't have a book cover of me because clearly everything was closed. So the cover is not my face, but you know, it was definitely a beginning to all that we have now. And so when the world opened up, by that time I had gotten on Instagram. I was not a social media person at all, but because of my consistency, I was able to grow to over 10,000 followers, and people just started going to my website and booking me to speak at conferences. And when the world opened up in 2021, literally in January, I went to my first conference to speak, and I had no clue like what I was doing. I asked the conference host, oh, well, how much do I need to pay for my hotel? And she was like, sis, that's not how this works. Like, when someone books you, they pay for your hotel, they pay for your flights, and they give you a check. Like, this is how this works. And I just had no clue. I just was green. So yeah, ever since 2021, this has been my life. So the rest is history.
Are you telling me you had no experience prior to COVID, like as far as speaking?
Right? No, I had not spoken at a conference. I had not written a book. I had not had my own.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
On personal coaching clients, it literally was just me ripping off the Band-Aid and kicking fear out the door and saying, I'm just gonna do this. So I literally sat in my bed. I text like 15 people and I said, hey, I'm starting a coaching business. You wanna be my first client? And they all said yes. So literally that was my first bag. And I mean, I created my own information. So my own intake process, my own, as far as informational booklet for each client to have, my own contracts. I sent them to all of them, got them scheduled. And I mean, within weeks, I was literally in quarantine like this on Zoom with clients every day.
That sounds like such a, you know, it's a beautiful story. When you think about everything that happened during COVID, you know, a lot of people were being innovative like that.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually really impressive that you took the time to just pretty much say whatever, figure it out and turn it to something very successful. Now, you know me, I'm a little bit of a pocket watcher, so I gotta ask you, you ain't gotta disclose the exact amount, because it doesn't matter. Your first conference, how much did you get range-wise?
It wasn't that much, actually. I want to say it might have been $250. And then, of course, my flight was $350 and my hotel was maybe about the same. So, I mean, $250 was the check. And then they also paid for my hotel and flight. So yeah,
about $1,000. So that's when you knew, like, you got that first $250 check. You was like,
yeah, it was like, I loved what I did. And that particular conference was a women's conference. And the girl who was hosting it was a pastor. So of course it was more just women, Christian based. And I was given the topic confidence. So to be able to, you know, teach people how to have confidence or just more about confidence, I just felt at home. And so to be able to get paid to do something that you love, and oh my God, I'm actually good at this. And when I told them this is my first conference, they was just like, you're lying. And I said, no. So it just shows, like, when you love something, you have a passion for it, why not just do it? You know, you do it afraid, but I mean, all in all, you can feel when something is your purpose.
So with confidence, it's something that you feel like you've always had growing up. You always feel like you're a very charismatic person. Would you consider yourself a shy person, an introvert? Because when I first met you, I'm not going to lie, I didn't think you were like what I seen on social media. When I saw that first clip speaking, I was like, bro, who is this? This is a whole different person.
No, I am not. I'm definitely 100% introvert. I'm very quiet. It takes me a while to get to know people, especially if I'm meeting groups of people at one time. So I always encourage people never to allow your personality to detour your purpose, because nobody would ever be able to know who I am when I speak, or if I'm in a church, then of course I'm more so preaching, or like when I write, or I sing. So when I sing, all of these things, nobody would ever know. I remember one time I had to speak in Delaware, but the airport was in Philadelphia. So my driver picked me up and we had to drive to Delaware. And of course, I said like two words. And so on the ride back to the airport, she was like, "I just want to keep it a buck." The ride there, I was thinking to myself, what in the world is she possibly going to say? Because she said two words in the car. And she was like, "When you hit the stage, I didn't even know this was the same person that was in my car." And I said, "I'm not offended. I get that all the time. And it's okay. I love to surprise people. And I just think of myself in that way as God's biggest surprise."
I'm not surprised you just said
I
that is such a you answer. That's funny. I didn't even know you can sing. I'm like being serious. I did not know that. A year of almost knowing you, I've never knew that.
I don't really, well, I sing all the time in my office, so I'm sure I annoy whoever is around me. But as far as like, I don't just walk around singing to people. But yeah, it's something I've always done. I had parents who, if I told them I wanted to do something, then they invested in it. So I was like, "Oh, I want to be a cheerleader. Okay, let's take you to some camps. Oh, I want to play basketball. So, oh, we'll put you in all these leagues. Oh, I want to run track. Oh, well, we'll hire you a private coach." So when I told them I wanted to sing, they got me a vocal coach, and the rest is history.
I'm learning so much. I didn't even know that. Seriously, I did not
So
know
blame my parents for, making me an anomaly. Because I feel
that.
like some guys are like, "Have you ever heard that you can't be intimidated?" And I'm just like, I had supportive parents.
I guess we're gonna go that route right now then. I guess I was gonna wait. Let's see.
You can wait. You can wait. I'm just saying, I had very supportive parents.
I was
So
like, I
I
didn't want to get
appreciate
there.
them.
Yeah, I
Shout
just
out
didn't
to
want to get
Brenda
there.
and James.
Shout out to your parents, man. You got siblings, right? How many siblings you got?
I have one older brother. He's 2 years older than me, and his name is Justin. And yeah, that's my roadie. Like, we talk every morning. He sends me my little good morning, beautiful text. And I always tell people, like, he's my real father. I have a father, but my father is, an introvert as well. But my brother is not. He's very outspoken and very strong-willed, the big football player, so always protective. And yeah, that's
So
him.
let's get back to the confidence. So let's say you have clients. When you talk to your clients, what are they coming to you about? Are they coming to you about business? Or are they coming to you about confidence or speaking or writing books? Like, what exactly do you provide in your services?
I actually give them that opportunity to do so. My services are pretty much split up into programs. So I have one program called Gift Institute, and it's for people who just don't know. They want to know what their gifts are, and they want to be able to utilize them, or they have some type of cognizance that they are gifted, or they may, have something that they want to pursue in life. They just don't know what that is. And so through that program, I help people.
I was a soldier, then a veteran, a husband, and a father. And with my VA home loan, I'm a homeowner. No down payment required and no PMI. Build your future with the VA home loan. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Really discover and unearth their gifts. I also have a program called No Caves. This is also a conference that I do every year. So I'm planning a conference now as we speak. But the premise of No Caves is my mentor told me, he was just like, "I feel like you've been in a cave for the past 10 years," which he's right. Like, I was just a full-time college student. I never talked to anybody. I lived with my parents while I was in grad school. So, and the two friends that I had, they were married with kids and their spouses lived like across the world. So I pretty much, spent my time in school and that's it. So I wasn't even using any gifts that I had. And so that he was like, it's really time for you to come out of the cave and no longer be hidden, but to be highlighted. And so I kind of ran with that idea. And one of my books is called Come Out of the Cave, which is, you know, just coming out of your comfort zone. And so the premise of No Caves is to encourage women to try new things, to really embrace their uniqueness. One of the things I always tell people is that your uniqueness will always feel like awkwardness until you figure out its relevance. And I think that's so true, because for a long time, I just felt strange. Why do I not like fit in? Why do I always have things that I'm really good at, and then people are like jealous about it? I'm just looking at it with a side eye, like, this is just me. So to be able to help other women figure out their passions and go after it, I love placing women in environments that force them to show up in a different way. So if you say, oh, I think I'll be a great speaker, then I will contact 50 women and place them on a Zoom and I'll make you speak. And
that's cool.
And that. They're like, wait a minute. What? And I tell them what's happening. I was like, well, I created a small empowerment summit. 50 women will be attending. It'll be through Zoom. This is the, you can pick the topic that you would like to speak about. And they're just like, wait a minute. I said I wanted to speak. Now you're like throwing me in this situation. You're right, I am. And they always show up. They always utilize the skills that we have talked about and really built through our entire process. And yeah, I love doing that.
So what got you to, I guess, get out of your own comfort zone? Because you said something that's really resonated. I mean, it resonates with me. I'm sure it resonates with a lot of people, is that you feel like you're in a cave for 10 years, rather mm-hmm. than your own environment or working at a job. Like, people who have their own experience where they feel like they're not getting their light to be shined, because whatever. What got you to finally hit that switch and be like, all right, this is my time, and I'm gonna move forward with that?
I would definitely say just having so much time to myself during the pandemic and being shut in during the quarantine. And again, having my mentor to just bring it to my realization that you are gifted. You have all these amazing things that you're capable of doing. Just do them. And even just him being an example, he had been a lawyer for years, but he had never done his own thing. And so he just kind of, during the same time, he was an example. He went out and started a couple of law firms, didn't have a clue what he was doing. He just knew that he no longer wanted to work for somebody else. And so, you know, just seeing an example of somebody just moving in faith and walking fearlessly really showed me that I can do the same thing. And then also just having enough faith to not depend on certainty. I think that's what holds so many of us back, because when you make an idol out of certainty, then you limit your capacity. Like, it's so much more stuff you will be able to do if you stopped waiting for things to be certain and things to be perfect and things to be blameless with no blemish. Like, it's just not going to happen. Certainty is an illusion. And I just think that embracing change, embracing transition and new things without certainty is really the main thing that encouraged me to just step out and believe in myself.
That was well said. No, I usually don't give you a lot of compliments. That was well said. I felt that. Really felt, yeah. Felt at home. So correct me if I'm wrong. You are an author of 5.
Yes.
5 books or one on the way, right? Or
5. Yes.
Books. 5 106
well, or 4. I've written 2 mini books that I don't really talk a lot about because I kind of wish I didn't put them out because I don't use them. I feel like I was just so excited while when I did that book, I was like, oh man, let me do that. So I put out 2 like mini books. They're very small. And they have nothing to do with my brand.
hey, I
guess. So yeah. And but aside from that, yes, I have Hidden, which was my first book that I wrote during the quarantine, which is, of course, really what I just told you about being hidden and being okay with being hidden. I think there's such a negative connotation with having a time to be hidden. But I think during that time, you are able to learn, you're able to grow, you're able to see other people's mistakes and really make sure that you can handle what it is that you're asking for, because sometimes your, you know, elevation can take you to places that your experience is not ready for, or any of those things, to be honest, when you matriculate, but your maturity is not ready for that. So I think it's a very important place to be when you're in a hidden place. So that's what that book is about. After that, I wrote Breaking Up with Comparison, which was a really big book for me because that's something I struggled with right after college, because all of my friends are very successful. And I'm looking at them like, wow, they have husbands and kids and they're starting businesses or 6-figure jobs. And that was not my experience post-college. Like, I just went back to school. I didn't have like this 6-figure offer. Right. I was an education major. So, I mean, there would be no 6-figure offer from any school. Facts. And yeah, so the things that they were pursuing were not the things that I was pursuing, which can be isolating when you choose to compare yourself to somebody. But I just feel like when you emulate others, I think in turn, you alienate God. Like, he's the one that creates our plans. So why would I compare my plan to someone else's plan? In a way, it makes it feel like he made a mistake. So that was very important. And I definitely enjoy writing that book. And then after that, like I said, Come Out of the Cave, which is about coming out of your comfort zone and just trusting the process. And then I wrote Born to be Wild, which was my latest book. I love that book. It's my favorite book. I still read that book in the mornings because I had no idea I would be going through such a major transition in my life. So the thing, like when I tell you, I read that book page for page, and I'm just like, oh my God, like Yolanda, like the stuff you are writing. And yeah, and so many people send me messages about that book, like, oh my, even my husband is reading this book because he's going through a huge transition right now and it is helping him so much. So I love encouraging other people and trying to help them through transition, because it's hard to transition well. It just is. And so I always say that change is a gift, but transition is a skill. And I think that if you can learn to transition well, then that's half the battle of the evolution of you. And so the book that will be coming out in August is, I was about to say, I'm a big deal. That's something I'm working on. The book that's coming out is called New Kid on the Block, The Art of Starting Over. And I'm excited about this book because, you know, it has a lot to do with where I am now, a lot to do with transition and starting over. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's it's kind of how we met.
It is. We trauma bonded.
That's I didn't want to say it. I was recording the drop. And I was like, do I tell people that we kind of met like two traumatic situations? Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Tell the people.
Like, it was like maybe 2 weeks, like in separation of think I was, mine was first in July, and then yours was like right. Mm-hmm. Like right after. And then I was like, oh, okay. Because I remember when we first met, you always say that when you first, you know, started where, you know, where we work at, where you work at. I don't work that. you didn't know about me because, you know, I wasn't the most eager to be there.
No, you were not. You were not enthused at all.
Man, you know, you'll know, like I said, you know about me. You know if I want to be somewhere or not at shows. But
yes.
It was really interesting because, you know, me going through that, it's a very isolated feeling. You have no idea how to explain your entire situation. Like I told you, it felt like, you know, Tyler Perry just created an entire life script in front of my eyes. Like, it was great. And so to hear your experience gave me some perspective. I'm like, it actually isn't as bad as it could be.
It's not as bad as it could be. Look at her.
it could be worse. But I'll say, and if you want to share, you know, what you want to share, that's fine. I will say when I just heard the origins of it, I was just like, wow, the things we will do for the people that we think that we love. Would you like to share how we got?
Sure.
You ain't gotta share, you know what I mean? You ain't gotta share everything. but for the people to get a perspective, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. We were having an event at work, and it was bring your spouse and kids. And so I'm standing there minding my business. And you're in the corner, like, get some more work. Get some more work than you think. You're like, and I'm just like, oh my.
Very dark time.
What has happened? Like, who has hurt you? Like, where is this man's kid? Somebody offer up your child to this man. He is hurt. And so that's what sparked the conversation about kids. And you were just like, yeah, well, I've experienced this because I experienced a breakup recently. Part of me is still fresh. Like, you don't say. I mean, you came in very hot. Just seeing the kids, you were triggered. And I was just like,
I was very much triggered. anybody who had kids, I was mad, man. I don't want to see you. Why are you happy?
That was really like the sentiment of your reaction just to the environment. Like, I didn't have to ask a question. I mean, you literally was just like, kids are all in the work. Like, you think it's all for the games, but I was just like, whoa. So that's literally how we met. And then, I don't know, a week or two later, I am with my ex-boyfriend, and he tells me that, you know, he needs more time. And just a little backstory.
I was like,
I am not from St. Louis. I moved here 9 months ago from North Carolina, and my ex moved me here. Bought a ring, bought a house, sat down with my parents, sat down, you know, with his family and my friends and planned grand, you know, party and get together to celebrate our engagement. And as soon as I moved here, he just voiced to me that he was not ready. He said that he was in love with the idea of marrying me. And as soon as I got here, he realized, wow, this is actually reality. And he was not ready to leave someone in a marriage. And so desired for me, you know, to wait around, still allow him to be my community, and, you know, still desire me to, you know, be company and companionship and a church member and all of the things, just no commitment. And that was not something I desired to sign up for, because, you know, after 2 years, what is there to think about? What is there to be confused about? So, yeah, I decided to stay, because, of course, that's a question. Like, what the heck? Do I move back? Right. To North Carolina. Of course, my family was like, move back. Like, we'll take care of you financially until you find something. You don't have to stay out there. And I decided to stay in order to just rebuild and figure this thing out. And yeah, I'm glad that I did, because I have had some great opportunities here that I would not otherwise have been afforded. But, you know, sometimes we have this idea of what our destiny looks like, but we have a misconception of the vehicle that God chooses to get us there. And so, as much as I like where I am now, I do not like the vehicle that was used, which is him. And that's my story.
This is, you know, I was trying my best not to make this a petty thing, because, you know, it's so, it's, you know, we don't have to do those things. You know, you've changed, you moved forward. And I personally don't think in doing that, but now I'm thinking about it. Yeah, I was down bad, man, at that point in time, because it was so fresh. It was like, you know, it's just like, I had so many questions. I was trying to figure out different answers, and I was like, here you come in. I'm like, oh, all right, you know what, brother?
Cool, I had even more questions, because, I mean, who uproots their life in 3 days just to, you know, get it flipped upside down?
How deep is your love, right?
Yeah, like, when I tell you the crazy things you do for love,
yeah,
it's amazing.
Tell you that, man, it's a lot.
Oh God, yeah.
You don't beat yourself up for that, you know, because
not at all. I think even with the proposition of me waiting around, I chose to opt out of that decision or choice, because one of the things that I really believe in, and I feel like my whole mindset during that time was, no, thank you, because I would rather adjust my life to your absence than adjust my future or my peace to your presence. And that's really my main mindset when I even heard those words come out of his mouth. Like, no, thank you. I'd rather adjust my life to you not being here than adjust my peace to you being here. Like, because that, like, wrecked me, you know? I was severely depressed because I just didn't know what was next, because this is all the plan had been. So to all of a sudden have a pivot, I didn't know what to do with that pivot. And one of the things that I had to teach myself is that the pivot is not a punishment. That's what I thought it was. I was like, well, heck, why do I have to, you know, have this engagement called out? Why did I have to move out here? And all of a sudden, my life is not what I thought it was going to be. Why is my life flipped upside down? Nothing about his life changed. Like, nothing about it changed. And I was just so angry about that. Like, this pivot is a punishment. But that's one of the things that I learned, is that when you hold on to your own plans, then the pivot can feel like a punishment, because you're not open to any type of changes, and you're not open to possibly that pivot being your protection. You know, I've heard from a lot of people, like, you were saved, like your whole entire life was saved, because this is definitely narcissistic behavior to know that you want more time. Yeah. You know you want more time, but you don't communicate that. In your mind, you say, I'm going to still have her move here, because once at least I get her here, I can convince her to just give me more time. I'm not going to tell her before she moves. I'm going to wait till after.
That's
crazy. Like, you thought about that, you know? So.
Yeah, he sat on that. He sat on that for a minute.
He did. Nobody wakes up and makes a life change like that. Nobody just wakes up.
You're sitting on that for at least a week at minimum.
If not longer. Are you kidding me? Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's, you know, I want, you know, you a little specific with it. You know what I mean? You just ain't say the occupation. But
what?
No, I'm just saying, like, your story is very detailed. You know, just ain't say where. You didn't say what he did.
Oh, he's a pastor. He's a pastor. I will say, before this entire season of my life, I had never had a boyfriend that was not a pastor or not a bishop. So that is not that I go seeking out these type of men in leadership. I think because I'm naturally a leader, and then of course I go to church, so I attract them, you know? And so he is a pastor. Like, he doesn't have his own church, but he's the pastor at his dad's church. So that was another piece of it as well, because, you know, of course I was pranced around church and introduced to everybody, and pranced around the city and introduced to other pastors. And yeah. And I'm sure a question was like, oh, where did she go? Where did she go?
He ain't got no idea.
And I'm sure he gave no answer.
Please. I respect it though, because you're saying what I be thinking. I just don't be saying it, so I understand. It's
you know, it is what it is. I put it on my social media, and to be honest, hundreds of women reached out to me and were like, "Thank you for being brave enough to share that," because millions of women, and not just saying women only go through this, but are ghosted or disappointed or, you know, let down or gassed up that they're going to have a certain future with somebody. And then they just change their mind. And I mean, we've talked about this. My concept is women are the ones that get chosen. And we are the ones that literally sit back and hope that a guy doesn't ghost us, or hope that he doesn't just message us to death and then disappear, or that he doesn't fill us with all these empty promises, but that they're gonna be real and be consistent and be intentional and, you know, reciprocate the love that we desire to give somebody. So yeah, it's hard out here.
Hey man, I can't speak on that. You know what I mean? I think I do enough. You know, I think I do more than enough. But no, that is crazy though. I actually had a conversation with my mom like the other day, and I was telling her, you know, people that have stories like this, when they do share it, you'd be surprised how many people actually like reach out. Cause they be going through Absolutely. The same thing. And it's like to most people, it's almost embarrassing to be like, oh, you know, I did this for somebody. But you know, again, what you did for them, you truly thought it was going somewhere. And so mm-hmm. don't beat yourself up from that. So it's a lot of women, I'll say men too, that do that. And you don't want to talk about it because you're like, man, like you look like a sucker, or you look stupid. But it's like, I mean, you thought it was going one way, and you can't control the action of somebody else and what they do. So
absolutely.
I commend you for using your energy to, you know, telling people how to overcome it, because
absolutely.
It's hard to bounce back, man. It's hard to bounce
back. You have to. I feel like one of the things that was the main instrument to my depression was shame. Like, I was embarrassed. So embarrassed. Because I was like, dang, Yolanda, you look so stupid. Like, you moved out here. You uprooted your entire life. Like, you left your church. You left your family. You left your home. You left your job. Like, as soon as he even asked me, I was just like, let me hurry up and resign. Like,
yeah.
So to leave everything, you know what I'm saying? I just felt so stupid. And so that is what really held me captive to even being able to move forward, or to move forward in type of healing, or progress in therapy, like any of those things, because I was just so embarrassed. And so part of me even regaining any type of power was me sharing my story and relinquishing, you know, that level of control. And to be honest, to see the just level of outreach from women who could just resonate with the story, or just say thank you for sharing it. Like, most women would be too embarrassed to say I uprooted my life for a dude and he just changed his mind overnight. Like, and so yeah, even my mom, because I didn't tell my mom I was doing it, her sister saw it, and she was like, oh my god, did you see what Yolanda put on social media? And my mom was like, no, like, I have a life, I don't be on social media. Right. And so she got up there and she saw it, she read everything. I created this whole entire reel, like, it was very detailed.
Wow.
Yeah, I did. Because in addition to like journaling, I also do video journaling. And so I put some of those in there too, like of me bawling, crying, like ugly crying. I just didn't care. I was like, I want people to see my entire process from beginning to end. And I just left it all out there, just raw. And so my mom was like, I think that, you know, it takes a lot of courage to just be that vulnerable and, you know, allow other people to actually see what you have overcome. Because we can share where we are now, but it's even more effective to share how you got there and what that process looks like.
No, I agree. That's my biggest thing. That's my biggest thing with social media, is that everybody just shows, you know, the good things and mm-hmm. you know, everything is, you know, done right or whatever. So, I mean, I commend you for sharing that. And, you know, I mean, it got us here. So, you know,
I know. This angry guy in the corner triggered by the kids running around the room.
I was so mad.
And then I had to trot into our next event only to tell you, like, well,
right. I've learned.
It happened to me. And you was like, wait, what?
I was happy for you, man. I was happy for you. I was like, look at you about to, you know, move on with your next life. I mean, my story, I wasn't that much far removed, I guess, from the timing of what was supposed to happen to. So it's cool when those things don't happen and it's like, oh, it's not just you. It's somebody
else. Like, I'm not in this thing by myself. Like, there are people out here who love hard and some crazy things for love. Because I do. Like, I love so hard. Once you got me, like, it's a wrap. Like, I will do. I'm dead serious. You can ask any of my exes. Like, that's why they all of them ended just amicably. Like, I could call any of them right now. I wouldn't, because half of them are married. So that lets you know they were good guys. They just were not ready and were not for me. But
does that ever bother you that, you know, I've always wanted to ask a woman that.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's certain people that like we're connected to in our life experience, and you know, maybe it just didn't work out, and then like years later they get married. But I always hear, you know, a woman be frustrated, like, oh, that's the guy I was supposed to marry, but he wasn't ready for me. But here comes this other woman 5 years later. Like, does that bother you?
It happens. And I've heard both sides. Like, I told you I bumped into my ex's ex, and you know, her question was, well, dang, it sounds like we were dating two different people, because the guy that he was for you, he could not show up to be that person for me. I didn't get a ring. I didn't get a house. I didn't get trips and gifts and all this stuff. Like, what made you different from me? And then I've heard somebody say, you know, I was that girl that if you was to ask his ex, they would say, oh, he's a bum or he's an F boy. But when he got with me, he desired to change because of me. So you get both ends of the spectrum when it comes to women. I don't feel any type of way about my exes being married because they were not for me. We had a great relationship when it was, and when they expressed not being ready, I had no problem moving on and giving them... I think it depends on the woman, you know, because if you do have confidence in yourself and what you bring to the table, then that makes a huge difference when someone says you are amazing. Like, I hear guys say all the time, you're so easy to fall in love with, or you're an anomaly. Like, I hear that all the time, and I'm just like, well, I'm tired of y'all saying it. Because nobody still has wiped me up. But I didn't feel any type of way to hear that they got married. I was happy for them because I knew that they were great guys. They just apparently were not great guys for me. And I want somebody that is for me. So no, I don't feel any type of way about them being married.
That's fair. You said some things in there and I was just kind of like, all right, let's...
What did I say?
No. I'm just joking with you. Don't joke. It's a joke. You know, the confidence, man, is at all time high.
Oh, I know we are not talking, sir, because I hear the egocentric record play 24/7. Okay.
Well, look what that's got me, right? So, you know, I don't even say I'm egocentric. I just know what type of guy I am. You know,
rather, you let it be known quite often.
Yeah, why not?
Exactly. So get off me about saying what other people have told me. I didn't even say, oh, I think I'm amazing. I said
I have to, because it's I think my experience is always different though, because I don't have people I can just call on speed dial like that I used to date. A lot of it's about choice, but it's just also like, I've always been the one that's been either ready to commit or things didn't work out. So, yeah, it's just kind of like you got to remind yourself, all right, well, it's just not your time, at least not with this person. Yeah. Maybe somebody else. But no, I got a little ego, but that's, It's from a good place. I just know what type of person I am. So,
as you should, as we all should, we should know what type of person that we are.
Talk about egocentric. That's funny. It's a little true. I'm working on it.
It's a little true.
A little bit. But you said something earlier that I want to kind of close to wrapping up. You mentioned mm-hmm. something about people being intimidated by you. I mean, I think as you reflect on your dating experience, you feel like that's what it came down to. Was it there was something that you were bringing that scared them? Was it who you are? Is it what you've done? I mean, you do a lot now, so you know you don't work at you work a 9-to-5, but you know you be in Miami. You know, on the weekends, or you're in Atlanta the week after. I mean, you were just in Miami, by the way. Let's not forget. Like, I should do with that.
Give me such a hard time.
No, it was in a conference. You know, I can't just go to Miami. Like, you was there, but you know, what do you think? What do you think when people say that they're alluding to?
I think it's a little bit of both. I've had an ex-boyfriend who also bought a ring. And I don't know. I feel like by the end of it, he just changed. He was like, oh, well, I know when you start doing this, you're not going to need me anymore. And when you make it big, you're not going to need me. It's just like the conversations always stemmed from insecurities and where he saw me going and the things that he thought I would do in life and how it would supersede who he was. And I never felt like I was out of his league, you know, because he was just an amazing guy. Like all of the stuff that he did for me and just being who he was, I never had any complaints at all. But I think that he began to become insecure when he saw who I was. And I wasn't even doing nothing. Like, I was a grad student, broke, living with my parents. Like, what do you see? And sometimes I always say it's amazing how insecurities or jealousy can be prophetic, because people who show insecurities around you because of what they see in you, but you don't see those things in yourself. It's like, wow, like you see things that aren't even there yet and they're making you insecure. That's something, you know? And so I think that was a huge part of it. My other exes, like, it was just the timing. Like, they just were not in a place where they were ready and they saw that I was. And so they didn't want to drag things out or give me a hush ring. And I would not want one. So let me just give you you're an amazing woman. It's just the wrong timing. You know, it's nothing wrong with you. Like,
it's me.
I mean, whoever comes after you is really going to have a hard time. Like, I get that speech and I'm just like, okay. And, you know, it can be discouraging because it's like, well, if I'm so amazing and if I'm so great, then what's the problem? But timing is everything, you know. You cannot make someone be ready. You can't make someone's timing align with yours. It's just got to be something that naturally aligns and something that you both really agree with. And then I also feel like my longest relationship ended because we started just growing at different paces. And it came to a point where he needed me more than I needed him. And he reminded me of that all the time. And one thing I learned from that is you should never let somebody's need for you overshadow their expiration date. Like, when a relationship is supposed to end, you should let it end and not stay with that person just because of the codependency. And I knew that, you know, he depended on me for a lot of things, and because he had nobody else in his life. So that is what was keeping me there. And I never want to be with somebody out of obligation. And so, you know, ending that relationship when I basically grew up in that relationship, you know, was difficult, but it was needed. And so again, you know, I don't feel any type of way with how things ended with any of those relationships, or I just feel as though those were key things, whether it was insecurities or whether it was timing. Either way, that's why they ended. So now we're moving on and moving forward with new CEOs.
You know, that one ain't gonna say that, man, but I ain't gonna. Shout out to you, brother. You know who you are out there, man. I'm rooting for you, brother.
I'm rooting for you too.
for real. Hey, she ain't wanna look. You need somebody to work with on the side. You need somebody. Oh, I got you. No, like I'm here. I got an education background. I care about the kids. I mean, I heard you doing a lot of great things. So that's shout out to him, man. That's a good guy.
Yes, I give him a shout out. Yes.
That's beautiful. All right. So we have covered a lot here, man. Uh-huh. Yeah, so, With this next book, what do you think is your ultimate goal? I guess when it's all said and done. Actually, let's take a step further. What do you think your ultimate goal with all this? You know, from the speaking to, you know, writing books to the conferences, the coaching. Like, what is your ultimate goal? Mm-hmm. I would say, in your journey.
I would say my ultimate goal is to just teach people how to, you know, share their story and how to really escape their own caves. I think everybody has a cave at some point in their life. I think everybody has some place in their life where they feel they've been stuck. And so it happens to all of us. And so being able to have the proper tools or just a proper encouragement to really escape that space and navigate through purpose and really navigate through transition are great steps to achieving the very things that you do desire to achieve in life. And that's my ultimate goal, is to just help people show up as the best versions of themselves, because I've watched my life evolve within these past couple of years and do things that I never thought that I would do because of just my natural quiet nature. So I'm always a testament to other people that it doesn't matter what your personality is or background is. You know, I come from a very, very country town. Like, we have one stoplight. Like, that's it. We had like a population of, I don't know, 1,000 people, probably 500 people. Like, my dad was the mayor. And I just thought that was so amazing. Like, oh, my dad's the mayor. And come to find out as an adult, like, oh God, like, I couldn't do that job. But, you know, it's just, you know, the life I lived, very simple, very just modest and understated. And then to post-pandemic to be thrown into this life, it just shows people overnight the shift and the change that can take place once you really embrace familiarity. So I think the enemy of our faith is familiarity, because we desire for things to be so familiar around us. And sometimes we run away from things that are uncomfortable. But always challenge people to, you know, be comfortable with being uncomfortable, because our challenges take us to places we would never go on our own.
I think that's it. That's all I need to hear. That was
drop the mic.
Drop the mic. You know, I want to respect your time before I know the invoice come in, so I'm going to just
stop.
I'm going to stop it right here. You know, I know you got, you know, filet mignon probably being made behind you. You know what I'm saying? Private chef. Probably got the black Suburban outside. I get it, though. I understand. Like, the life of you is what I aspire to get to, man. So, oh. But, all right, no, seriously, I do appreciate you joining. Where can people find you, though? Where can people find you on social media?
Okay, well, my social media handle is the same across the board for Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Clubhouse, TikTok.
Still using Clubhouse, man? I thought that was...
No, I'm not. Okay, but I have an account, so... it's at Yolanda D. Mercer, and that's on all platforms, so you can definitely find me there. If you are interested in having a life coach, or if you're interested, you know, in booking me for any type of conference, my website is the same, YolandaDMercer.com. So you cannot miss me. And I'm excited about what this next year is going to bring. And I'm thankful to be here.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. You know, this was great. It's the best way to start off my new journey with this. And before I move.
Yes, I know. Big things.
Just trying to be like you, man. Just trying to live that lavish lifestyle, you know. So
stop. I don't know why you think my lifestyle is so lavish.
Well, weren't you just say Kiki on the River? Oh, that is it. Yeah, I like. I'm gonna say that at the end. That was. I appreciate you using my suggestion. That was great.
I usually take your suggestions.
I tried to tell you, you know, and you went. Wish you would have just told me. I was like, oh, I want the Kiki on the River. Like,
well, I told you that I would. I just wasn't going to post anything about it.
And that breaks my heart. That's okay, though. I appreciate it. We appreciate you joining. Make sure to follow her on all the platforms. I'll put it up once this is out. Yeah, man. You enjoy your day. You know, I know you got a lot going on. I'll see you soon. And
these little innuendos.
Yeah, nothing else to say. Well, I appreciate you all. Until next time.